We're talking about how to expand high-speed internet service here in Wisconsin. It is The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent, and we're going to get the perspective of a service provider in the North Woods. Governor Evers announced this month that the state will dedicate $100 million of federal pandemic relief aid to award grants for expanding broadband in our state. And the Public Service Commission says it will open the application process for the broadband expansion grants Tuesday. Do you live in a rural area? How is your internet? Can you upgrade your speed? Can you afford to? 800-642-1234 to join in. Chad Mix is marketing director for Norvado. It is a cooperative telephone, internet, TV signal provider that has about 14,000 customers in northern Wisconsin. It's based in Cable. Chad, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Well, thank you. I'm happy to join you this morning.
Well, let's start out with what has been the impact on your business, on your company, since the pandemic started.
You know, I think for most companies, the pandemic has been troublesome. For internet providers, it's kind of been a bit of a boom. I think we've been very busy, and I think understandably so, with so many people working from home and children schooling from home. The demand has been much higher for new customers to sign up for internet services, as well as existing customers to increase their speeds. Right. So if generally they're using the internet for surfing, but now they have multiple people working from home or schooling from home, the demand for capacity is much higher. So for us, we've been really, really busy, and all during a time where, we've had to make a lot of adjustments to make sure that we remained available to serve our customers, right? So we've implemented a lot of new procedures to, geographically diversify our staff and keep technicians in particular territories so that not everyone gets sick at the same time and we can continue to stay operational. So it's been very busy, and it's also been a lot of change, but good change to make sure that our customers stay up and running.
Okay, so as you get this huge spike in customers and customers demanding higher speeds, can your network keep up with that demand? Can your network manage this influx in business in the North Woods?
It can, for the most part. I'll kind of separate different markets for you, because we purchased a telephone company called Price County Telephone in 2019. And we've since, starting in 2020, have been working to replace the copper network that was existing there with fiber network. And not every customer has been converted from copper to fiber. So depending on the home, the speeds might not be as great on a copper-provided facility versus a fiber. In our Norvado West, we call it, so the Cable area, all of our facilities are fiber, so very easily can increase speeds. And I would just add that even on copper, we can generally increase speeds. Some folks that are really far away, because copper's distance-sensitive, may have a little more trouble increasing speeds if they're still on the copper network. But generally speaking, yes, most people can increase speeds. And what I would tell you is that our internet traffic on our core network during the pandemic doubled. And we're still not on our internet, on our core network. So we built the network with a lot of capacity and fairly robust, so that we weren't planning for a pandemic, but when something like this happens or traffic spikes, that we can handle it. And so, I think we've been pretty proud of our network guys that built the network to not skip a beat, even though we doubled our traffic during this time.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Chad Mix, who works for an internet service provider in the North Woods. We're discussing the challenges of rural broadband connectivity from a provider perspective. You can join in. Do you live in a rural area? How has your internet connection been in these times? Have you upgraded your speed? Could you afford to? Join in at 800-642-1234. Email ideas at WPR.org. Chad, I want to touch on affordability here. The FCC runs the Emergency Broadband Benefit, giving a monthly benefit for people. What have you seen from that stipend?
It's been a pretty low volume and a pretty low demand, believe it or not. I checked earlier this week on the numbers, and we only had 18 people so far, at least at that point. I think it was Tuesday. We've only had 18 people so far apply, for that stipend, and certainly it's open to anybody that qualifies, but I feel like that's a fairly low volume.
And to qualify, you've had to have a substantial loss of income due to a pandemic-related layoff or furlough. Another way to qualify is if you are participating in an assistance program or a household member has an income that is at or below 135% of the federal poverty guidelines. Why do you think that there hasn't been, that many people who have taken advantage of this $50 a month credit?
This is my own opinion, but my feeling is that it's twofold. One, I think that the awareness level may be somewhat low. I'm sure you've talked about it and others have talked about it, but I don't know how many people know about it. I mean, we have it published on our website and so do other telecom providers. But I think there may be a little bit of an awareness issue. And then second, there's no guarantee in how long it lasts. Right. So when the money runs out, it runs out, and it's going to run out faster the more people that are on it. And it, it might last 1 month and it might last 6 months. Nobody really knows. And so I don't know if that is a deterrent for people, kind of saying, well, do I really want to go through all this paperwork in order to, have a 1 month, have my internet on for 1 month and then have it off again unless I pay. I have a sense that may be contributing to the lower volume that we're experiencing. Now, maybe other telephone companies are experiencing a higher application rate. I'm not sure. My sense is that it's probably similar across all. And in that case, then the money will last longer.
So considering you're connecting people in northern Wisconsin, a very difficult terrain to manage, people spread out, lots of trees, which counties or areas would you consider are more difficult to reach with high-speed internet?
I don't know if any one county of ours is more difficult than the others. Certainly, distance from where we have network connectivity is always a factor, and it's not necessarily a factor because of the difficulty to implement. It's more of a difficulty due to cost, because building fiber, we've made a strategic decision to serve our customers on fiber all the way to their house, so that they will always be able to get the highest speed technology available. At least for now. But the cost to deliver, is really the biggest deterrent. Not so much the difficulty to implement. That said, we are in a small rural market. So with a long winter season, so we do have some difficulty in the amount of time that we have to build homes. And we start as soon as the frost is out of the ground and go until the frost is back in the ground and we can't any longer. But there are only so many crews that we can, put out to work, and there is only so much timeline. So if there is anything that slows us down, it's that we have a short build season. And that's true throughout Wisconsin, but we tend to up north have a little bit stronger winters and the frost lasts a little bit longer. Fortunately, this year, the frost was out of the ground early, and we started our construction season early. So hopefully that equates to building to more houses, and we are planning to do that.
Well, let's take a call. Rebecca is joining us from Ridgeway. Hi, Rebecca.
Hello.
What is your internet situation?
Well, right now I use a hotspot, and I've been living in rural areas for about 16 years, and my best story, and this is what made me a proponent of investing in rural broadband, kind of like we invested in rural electric 100 years ago. But I lived, my farm was in Deerfield, 11 miles east of Madison, and I could not get internet there. I was in a complete dead zone. And I tried to get Frontier high-speed DSL, and their box, their connection box was in my front yard, and it just didn't work. Dial-up would have been faster. And I tried twice with Frontier over the course of about 3 or 4 years, and it just didn't work, and I ended up using my hotspot. I don't need cable. I could have gotten Spectrum, but everybody complained about it. And Frontier was good. They had really good customer service, but they couldn't tell me why it wasn't working. It just wasn't working. So fast forward, now I'm moving to a new farm in Mineral Point, and I have high-speed internet there. And that's a very small community. So it's just so spotty all over the state. And I just think it's time that we make an investment in rural broadband so everybody has basically what is today's electricity.
Rebecca, thank you. Chad, why is it so spotty? Why can't there be equity in broadband?
You know, I don't know if I have all the answers, but I think that part of it is because it's dependent on the particular area's phone company, right? In our area, we've made the decision that we're going to build fiber and make the investment to deliver high-speed internet to our customers, our cooperative members. Whereas, and I don't want to speak for another company, but a larger company that might operate in both rural and metropolitan areas would have to, you know, they only have so much budget. They'd have to decide that I'm going to put my dollars into an area that serves way less people than putting my dollars into an area where I could get 2 or 3 or 4 or 10 times the customer. And I think what happens is, ultimately, from a business decision, they end up putting their dollars where more people are, which leaves the rural community, you know, having gaps depending on who serves them. Because we don't have any metropolitan areas and we're all rural, right? We look at our market the same, and our strategy is to get everybody fiber.
That might help level the playing field. I'm going to jump in here with Chad Mix, who's with a broadband provider serving Northwest Wisconsin. We're looking at the issue of expansion from a service level perspective, and we'll be back in a minute on the Ideas Network. We're talking about challenges with broadband expansion on The Morning Show. I'm Kate Archer-Kent. The chair of the Public Service Commission, Rebecca Cameron-Vock, told us on The Morning Show this month that there are innovative solutions in the works to crack this scenario.
We've heard from a number of residents who will call the PSC and they'll say, look, I'm looking at the internet service provider out my front window. They are laying fiber in the roadway, and I've asked them if they can connect my house, but they've told me just to come up the driveway, it's going to take $8,000.
Has this happened to you? What do you want to ask a provider about costs in running fiber optic cable? 800-642-1234. Chad Mix is marketing director for Norvado, based in Cable, and he's with us for about 8 more minutes. Lance is joining us from Clinton. Hi, Lance.
Good morning. Yeah, my question is really related to the PS. What just talked about in the PSC is that I'm literally a quarter mile from fiber at my house, and I'm now on my third satellite internet provider. And every single satellite provider, what I get for an internet speeds isn't worth the money. So I'm canceling again. And what can consumers do to advocate for themselves and for their neighbors? For providers to put fiber and be able to connect homes.
Lance, thank you. Chad.
You know, I think there's a couple things. First, I just want to talk for a second. I think your listeners may like this based on the questions. You know, just because there's fiber a quarter mile from you or out in front of your driveway doesn't mean that it's ready to serve a customer. So we have fiber in our network that's our core network, that's transporting fiber from one or transporting data from one area to another. And just because it comes past you doesn't mean we can just splice it open and run it up your driveway right there. It would have to be planned that we're going to distribute fiber to the homes that are in that area. We'd have to have electronics to be able to splice and provide the signaling to come to your house in that particular area. And then there, as you've heard, there is a cost, a high cost, just to bury the fiber and put it in the ground up to the home. So sometimes we hear this a lot. Well, your fiber's right on the highway and I'm right there. But that is not fiber that's serving individual customers. It's our core network. And it was put in a long time ago, and it was designed as transport. It was not designed to come off to each house at that time. So there is a lot of work and cost that has to be done to deliver to those folks.
So what you're saying is even if you see work being done in front of your house or on your roadway, like, you know, very close to you, it doesn't mean that that is what it actually is in terms of being able to deliver service to your home, even if you wanted to have that fiber optic cable up your driveway.
That is correct. And I think the answer to that and what we're trying to do moving forward is, when we do transport work or we build more core network, is to build it so that we can build to the homes and businesses along the way. But that wasn't always done. And in fact, it rarely was done in the past. So it is a bit of a change. And I just wanted to mention about advocating, especially for rural broadband, the real dilemma is cost. We have the same cost to deliver a square mile of fiber as anyone. However, there may only be three or four homes served in that square mile. And so being able to participate in the grant programs is really what has allowed us to build fiber to our customers and members. Now, we've invested a lot of money as well, and we've made that commitment. But I just don't believe that the economics would work out if we weren't being supported. And it is even hard to make them work out sometimes with the government subsidies. So it is a cost issue. And again, if a square mile of fiber is the same no matter where you're located, obviously, it's a lot less expensive per pass or per home in a highly dense area than it is in a rural area where there's three, four, five, six homes along that same path. And so that's really the challenge, is making it work, making the economics work for it.
If you're just joining us, we're talking with Chad Mix, who works for an internet provider in Northwest Wisconsin, as we look at rural broadband and the challenges of connectivity. Along the lines of grants, we heard from Gary in Iron River email to ask, how did Norvado find the money to convert to fiber, and so many other providers in Wisconsin have not?
Well, we started early. Certainly give the company credit. We started building fiber to the home in 2009, and that was brought on by the Reinvestment Act, or the stimulus grant, people call it, from the federal government in 2008. So we aggressively applied, were awarded grants, and then also invested our own money to start building fiber to the premise back in 2009. A lot of providers were still doing DSL in 2000. I mean, we were, everybody was, but when they received grant money, they were still implementing DSL. We made the choice to implement fiber knowing that it was going to go there and that the demand for internet speed and capacity was going to continue to grow. Unfortunately, it's put us in a good position now because a lot of our market has fiber to the premise, and they're able to basically get any speed up to a gigabit of internet that they want in the middle of the Northwoods. So it's really been an aggressive strategy to work with the government as well as invest our own money, to build out the network.
In our last moments here, Governor Evers designated this year as the year of broadband, created a task force last year. We've been checking in on their work periodically. What is your What is your insight to lawmakers here? What would you tell them about how to provide high-speed internet more successfully in Wisconsin?
You know, I think that they should put an emphasis on fiber-delivered internet so that we don't run into these same problems again. You know, I think when we put the grants out, and nothing wrong with other means of delivering internet, but it's certainly not as robust and reliable as building that fiber network right to someone's home. It's really the best thing that you can provide. And I really think they should put an emphasis on helping the phone companies extend their fiber networks right to the home, even though it may cost a little bit more upfront than, say, putting in a point-to-point wireless solution or a satellite solution. I really think that the payback will be much greater and it will last far longer.
Chad,
without
thank
having
you.
To reinvest.
Yeah, Chad, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. I appreciate you having me.
Chad Mix is Marketing Director of Norvado, which operates in northern Wisconsin. News update is next on the Ideas Network.